Let's do this. Welcome back to another episode of Our Interesting Times. It is my pleasure to have Ryan Dawson back on the show. Of course, he is the proprietor of the Anti-Neocon Report and C Report. Ryan, how are you doing?
Does this make me a five-time or six-time champion on this show?
Oh, I've lost count. I know. Last time we spoke, it was BC before COVID, before the world changed.
Nice. There's no vaccine for irrational fear.
No, unfortunately, yeah, or stupidity or gullibility or, docility.
Hey, the vaccine's 90% safe, unlike the disease, which is 99.998% safe.
I didn't understand that math. I'm thinking, I'll just take my odds with my immune system and I'll improve my diet, get some exercise and go out and you go to I can't do that because we're recording. This place is shut down. Stay inside. Binge watch Netflix and just eat junk food,
Sounds healthy. Go hide under your bed, right?
Well, I tossed my arms up when they were preventing people from going outside and getting vitamin D last spring.
Well, you're in Virginia, right?
Yes.
They locked down?
Kind of. We're one of the dumber governors, and it was just saying a lot. He was the one caught wearing blackface or a Klan outfit back in med school, I think it was, or college. And he's been paying reparations ever since for that. Yeah. But yeah, he kind of tried to lock things down.
He's
but
the one that supported birthday abortions, too.
Yes, exactly.
I heard sister state, North Carolina, opens March 1st. So we can go down there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. My sister lives down there. And of course, South Carolina has always been kind of free. The further south you get, the better.
The eastern part of North Carolina has never enforced the lockdown anyway.
That's what I've understood. And that's kind of all over the place. It's kind of like that. It's just a plan to destroy small business because small business is sort of for lack of a better term, the New World
Order.
That's
East Carolina anyway. Every time the government says something, they're like, yeah, that's nice. And they just do what they're going to do.
Which is a healthy response, because it is really all nonsense. We've had the inauguration of Joe Biden. It was secured by 25,000 National Guardsmen brought in to defend against white supremacists who had laid siege to the Capitol.
He had more guards at his inauguration than people.
Yeah, exactly. Was the siege like 900 days or something at the Capitol? How long was the siege?
I think it was almost 2 hours.
2 hours. Okay. So we had
shorter
that.
Than the siege of the Hart building for the Kavanaugh hearing or ramming the doors at the Supreme Court or the 3 month siege of Chad or Chop in Seattle and 3 days in Kenosha where they're burning down car lots and businesses or basically every night in Portland where they attack the courthouse with fireworks and stuff. Almost 2 hours of dumbfounded Q-tards looking around at artwork in the Capitol building in Chanton, USA.
Yes. And most of them, I think were within the velvet roped off lines. And
yeah, they
got
didn't
out
even,
and ran around.
They didn't destroy artwork and knock things down like a riot there. They orderly went in through the velvet ropes and are walking around the hallways like, wow, this is our Capitol. Mm-hmm. Except for Pelosi's office.
Yes. Apparently that someone made off with her adrenochrome or something. I don't know.
her Dalmatian.
But really, it's farcical. They made
her
farcical
coat made out of 101 Dalmatians.
That's good. And then you had this impeachment 2.0 with former President Trump. Now, an impeachment is to remove a person from office. And from what I understand, right, is Trump left. Now, my argument is if you wanted to impeach Trump again, you shouldn't have stolen the election.
Right. And it was just a vindictive move because they were hoping to prevent him from running in 2024. But the first impeachment was the most interesting because it was over a phone call to Ukraine. Then you have Joe Biden on a phone call to Ukraine with Poroshenko admitting quid pro quo. And then you've got him on tape admitting that call again at a CFR meeting. And he's not impeached. articles of impeachment were brought up, but it never got out of committee because they're all like, he's a Democrat. You can't impeach him.
Mm-hmm.
We're allowed to do quid pro quo. And this, the Hunter Biden saga is just, I don't know what to say. Can you imagine if one of Donald Trump's children had done 1/10 of what Hunter Biden or what Biden's brother had done? Mm-hmm. It would be in the media 24 hours a day, blimps in the sky. It would never end. But he does it. And they're like, oh, yeah, Russian disinfo. Nothing to see here. I've never seen a more complete capture of the media by a president since maybe Lincoln, because he just physically shut him down.
Well, I think Time magazine ran that article last week by Mary Ball about this vast conspiracy among big media, big tech, organized labor leaders, Twitter, and anything to orchestrate what they call a proper result of the election, to secure the election. Mm-hmm. A legal campaign to change the rules, which is by, you know, what they mean is they broke the law to make sure that they could, you know, secure enough ballots, mail-in ballots, to more or less, you know, produce the votes to give how many votes Biden needed to win in the
state. Right, there's no way to check them. Yeah. So you just claim, yep, we got a million votes in the mail. Can we check those? No. Can we see the computers? No. Did you have observers? No. Just trust us. And no one does.
Then it's baseless allegations of voter fraud.
Right.
I don't know. How about 1,000 sworn affidavits and videotape?
Well, it doesn't matter because it's not allowed in a court.
Yes. All of a sudden, that's no longer evidence. Even though I think sworn affidavits have always been considered evidence, it's just these 86 or so cases thrown out on standing. It's just a procedural excuse to ignore a case. In the Supreme Court punting it, you know, with that Texas lawsuit. Basically, and Time magazine admits it pretty much.
And even in Wisconsin, they never said there wasn't evidence of fraud. It was just procedural. Yeah. Oh, you brought it up too late. But yeah, there was fraud. So it's just that they weren't even worried. They're like, the rig is in. He's going to be president. They're already making plans. They're like, we don't care how many people vote for you. We're just going to increase the total and say it came in the mail. And mm-hmm. there's nothing you can do about it, because they knew the press was going to side with them on it.
As they did. And it goes, as Time magazine instructs, that was the plan. And then if you point out that there is a conspiracy among the press to provide disinformation or misinformation to the public, fake news, if you will, then you're a conspiracy theorist. But they admit it. The author even calls it a cabal.
$48 million spent on trying to prove Russiagate, and there was no Russiagate.
Mm-hmm.
There was an Israeli gate they never looked at, but they spent enough money on Russia for nothing. And how much is being spent on this fraud? They won't let you even say anything about it. Social media will ban you if you even bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you're not, when it is illegal to talk about something or punishable, you know, to have a certain opinion, then you know there's something to hide.
Yes. Otherwise, they'd invite debate, mm-hmm. you know, because they could cope with it. So, but nevertheless, what we have here is I wanted you to come on and talk, because you're kind of a point man on this, because you've done your research. You've drawn the schematic, the names and all that, to give us, an idea of what's really going on here.
I've been making maps recently.
That's what prosecutors have to do when they investigate organized crime, right? Got to draw a map.
It does help. I always have a diagram in my head, and I said, why don't I draw that on paper so everyone can follow what the hell I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's more easily. I think most people are visual learners, so. Got some maps, man. I got a recent little one I did on the Lincoln Project.
Yeah, that ties in here, because, of course, like I said, I think Lincoln Project is this Never Trump organization, supposedly Republican conservatives. And this is guy Weaver, who worked for McCain. Of course, McCain was bankrolled by the Jewish Crime Syndicate, right? His career, his political career?
He was, and he actually made money off the old Lincoln Savings and Loans Associates scandal with the Keaton Five and Charles Keaton Jr. And he was investing James Hensley's money into it. Of course, he was the manager for United Liquor of Kemper Marley and Samuel Bronfman. The Bronfman family. Yeah. The same Bronfman family financing Epstein.
And that ties
to the Nexium cult. Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, the same people.
But yeah, with and of course that's with the Lincoln Project. Of course, now it's known. The same way we're finding out about, you know, about Cuomo, and I think Gavin Newsom's on the chopping block. He's going to be recalled, perhaps. And you have this Lincoln Project comes out. Now we're hearing about it, when it would have been helpful if in the run up to the election the public would have been informed about all this corruption. The same way that Hunter Biden was effectively covered up, you know, by social media.
Well, what's interesting is Twitter, and this is in the Jerusalem Post, Twitter was saying that the Lincoln Project pedophile, the one that got caught, John Weaver, who was harassing minors like 14 years old, too, was not in violation of the rules. And that's not new for Twitter. There was a case of a 13-year-old who had been tricked into sending naked pictures or something on Snapchat to what he thought was another teenager. It was actually some old pervert who started blackmailing him. And the blackmailer made a compilation, like, video of all these pictures, because he kept saying, send me more or else. So the kid complied. So when he was 16, still a minor, they released it. And it had 150,000 views, this video on Twitter. His whole school had seen it, you know, probably driven the kid to suicide. And they reported it. And Twitter, of course, you know, they're like, oh, it takes them like a week. So more and more people kept seeing the video. They couldn't get it taken down. When Twitter finally responded, they say, oh, you know, our team has looked at this and does not find it in violation of any of our rules. And it was 13-year-olds engaged in sex acts. And only because the family knew somebody at the Department of Homeland Security were they able to finally get the video removed. But it's too late. His entire school had seen it, saved it, made copies of it. Like, that'll haunt them for the rest of their lives. But Twitter was protecting the pedophiles. And in this case, you got them soliciting a 14-year-old. We don't know how many, but just like that one's enough. And Twitter's like, oh, well, that actually isn't in violation of our rules to solicit, you know, sex acts from little kids. But, you know, it doesn't matter. If you're a never-Trumper, Twitter's got your back. They're trying to normalize pedophilia, and I'll tell you why. They're all engaged in it, and they have no path out of it.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny because you have, you know, I guess they invoke Rule 230 to escape any liability, you know, because at one point they are acting like a publisher when they do ban or suspend accounts for certain political content. But then in this case, they're claiming we're just a platform and there's Rule 230, so we're not reliable. But they know that the stuff is being transmitted on their system. You think that would create some sort of liability after they're told about it, and they don't remove it. That's amazing.
Or blow the whistle, but it should go against their own rules. Like, as a company, they have certain rules of things you can and can't post. Now, if you said Kyle Rittenhouse did nothing wrong, you'd get banned. But if you have 13-year-olds getting raped, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because they like looking at that.
They like it. That's the when they say it violates our community standards, that's their community. So, you know,
yeah,
it's like
pedophiles.
Yeah. Yeah. Google, don't be evil. Yeah, right. You know,
the Lincoln Project so corrupt. Have you heard about Project Yellowstone?
No, what's that?
So, well, first let me circle back. Mm-hmm. That's a phrase now. Circle back. A lot of heat is on John Weaver for his sexual escapades, his kind of casting couch messages to young men as well as little boys. But the other founders, Steve Schmidt, who resigned, Rick Wilson, and Stuart Stevens, and Reed Gallen, all of them were hired in January very quietly by Gideon Saar, who is an Israeli. So you have four founders of the Lincoln Project openly working for an Israeli national, which should show you.
Yeah.
What they're all about from the start. As soon as the election's over, they start working for the Israelis. Well, anyway, one of those guys, Reed Galen, had this sort of side project called the Yellowstone Project. They're calling it a little-known dark money group, is what they're saying. And it got caught. This isn't in the news. It's in, like, some written press. I think CNBC is, like, the most normy thing I've seen anything written about it in, but you'd have to already know about it and look for those terms for it to show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a massive money laundering operation. They already took, I think, $90 million to $100 million from suckers. And, of course, just walked away with it. And they're just a bunch of rhino never-Trumpers. But this Project Yellowstone, very Epstein-esque in what they did. But of 180 or of 87 million that they raised, 63 million to 66 million of that money went to voter contact programs.
Oh, okay. It's like the Facebook operation then. Yeah.
And they say after being asked where the rest of it was going, Schmidt only said they wanted to protect their staff and other salespeople from harassment by the Trump people. Federal Election Commission's records show the PAC ended up spending almost 82 million.
That's like the Biden cancer research
charity. Right, exactly. $3.9 million raised, none of it spent on cancer research.
Yeah.
And they did it in the name of their dead son, Beau, who died of cancer. And here's the kicker. Hunter Biden is fucking his dead brother's wife. And now he has a child. You know what he named the child?
What?
Beau. He named his kid after his dead brother. So the wife has a son now named after her ex-husband as she's banging his younger brother. So now he can punish Bo Biden. There's another Bo Biden. He's his father over him. Sick, man.
Well, there was some question about the material on the laptop regarding his niece, right? Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Even if it's not his niece, it's some little kid, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's like, what are you doing getting foot jobs from a high school girl? At most, you know, could have been younger. And the corruption on that laptop, I mean, if you look through Rosemont Sintica and China Energy, you can see the ties to William Barr and Christopher Wray were making money off these deals. And they each had a 10% stake in this venture. Between Devin Archer, Chris Hines, who's John Kerry's kid, and Hunter Biden, and the other group that was in the mix with them is part of the very infamous Boston Mafia Syndicate, including Whitey Bulger's nephew and the Bulger family. The Biden family and the Kerry family are all benefiting from the communist Chinese. This should be a massive story. You've got two U.S. senators, now president and U.S. senator, head of the Armed Service Committee, by the way, John Kerry, who is a presidential candidate as well, involved with the communist Chinese and the American mafia. Can you imagine just swap Trump and Biden and having no one report on that story?
Yeah, I know.
Impossible. It would be absolutely impossible. I made a film about it. This is before the laptop, okay? This was like, the laptop was just now in the news and the content was sort of being leaked on Chinese websites because you weren't allowed to report on it on the U.S. Not even the New York Post or Kayleigh McEnany, nobody. The White House press secretary was banned.
Yes.
The real paper to record was banned just for even mentioning it. And so you could only see stuff on a website in China because China had less censorship than the United States. And while that was happening, I said, well, this is what we know from the anti-corruption agency in Ukraine and other whistleblowers that have been saying things all year long. And you can look through the business press and see their deals. It's not secret. It's just the job of the media is supposed to sift through all these primary sources and give you a story, tell you the narrative. And instead, they just ignored it. So I made a film called Corn Pops Revenge. It's just a little half-hour bullet points of all the things, even without the laptop, that we already knew that could have them impeached 50 times over. And you cannot get anybody in the mass media to report on even a fraction of these stories. You know, maybe Newsmax and OAN News or somebody would, maybe the Epoch Times or something might touch on some of it. But I tried sending that to Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is the yes. congresswoman from Georgia that did issue articles of impeachment on Biden over the Ukraine Burisma scandal, where he had to fire. He withheld a $1 billion loan in exchange for firing a prosecutor who was looking into his son's company's corruption. And
that's not speculation. He had that tape admitting at the Council of Foreign Relations, right?
Yeah, that's the thing that went around. Everybody saw him at CFR saying, and you son of a bitch, he did it. But man, I've got 5 hours of footage from the anti-corruption agency in Ukraine, subtitled in English, of way more than that, right? That's a juicy snippet, and I'm glad that that clip is going around, but I'm telling you, we got way more than that. And you can't get, there's no one to give it to. It's like, nobody in the press will touch it. Imagine how Ukraine feels like. They gave us this information dump, and the U.S. was like, meh. You know, they didn't even care.
Well, I mean, it tells you that the, of course, the law enforcement agencies, the investigative agencies, and also the media just simply, in a way, they're kind of in on it. This is the, you know, that's all part of the same racket. That's an ugly reality that Americans have to face up to. The First Amendment is effectively null and void because the First Amendment regarding the press is there to protect, or at least theoretically, you know, a vigilant and independent press, and it's been all been co-opted, you know, by these political and huge corporate interests, evidently.
Well, what I was saying is I sent a link to the video to Marjorie Taylor Greene, and then my YouTube was banned, so I doubt she ever saw it.
Yes, funny how you can stifle information. Yeah,
should have given her the BitChute link instead. You've got the Thornton Group, LLC, with Michael Lynn and James Bulger, which is the Mafia Bulger, and Rosemont Syndicate Partners, there's Hunter, Devin, and Chris, the same three that are always doing these little misadventures together all over the world. And then Bohai Industrial Investment Fund with Harvest Fund Management, which is Deutsche Bank, which is also being investigating for helping finance Jeffrey Epstein. They had 30%. Hunter took a 10% equity stake in Bohai Harvest. And he's also on the board of directors. And then Devin Archer was appointed to be vice chairman. He also gets 10%. Neither one of them speak Chinese. Neither one of them have any experience in this field. It just doesn't matter. It's who's your dad?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's the only qualification they needed. And the same thing in Ukraine. Who's your father? Oh, Biden? Oh, Kerry? Well, then. Yeah, it looks like you can... you can run this multi-billion-dollar company on the board and have a 10% stake or more. He's like, and don't forget 50 for the big guy.
Yeah.
And who the hell's that? We know who it is. Yeah, it's disgusting. But it takes to, you know, also Jonathan Lee was like on the run. He's the CEO of Bohai. They're all in trouble. I tied in Patrick Ho, who got caught bribing African despots, actually wouldn't take the bribes. And he went to MCC, same jail as Epstein, after having worked with them. And if you watch Corn Pop's Revenge, you can see the whole Maxwell, Hunter Biden loop. Because these people, it's all a big scribble, like we were saying earlier with John McCain. John McCain, part of the Lincoln's savings and loans fiasco, part of the Keaton Five, also part of the murder cover-up of Dan Bowles, who is an Arizona journalist that was murdered. Marley hired two hitmen to kill him.
He was blown up in his car, right?
Yes, there was a car bomb.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I figure you'd know about the mafia stuff. And, you know, that's like movie level. Wow, you know, that would be such a huge story. Or should have been. But it wasn't. And, like, even when John McCain ran to become president more than once and became the nominee against Obama, right? Did that ever come up, right? That he had put $350,000 into the Lincoln Savings and Loan scandal, which got a conviction of $1.1 billion in 1989, by the way. James Hensley's his father-in-law. He's the manager of United Liquors with Kemper Marley, who killed Don Bowles. John Adamson and Max Dula confessed, said they got paid $50,000 each to blow this guy up in his car. Then you had Fife Cementine, who was convicted of 7 felonies. He's the governor of Arizona. He was supporting McCain. And none of that came up, but John McCain's aide was John Weaver, who worked at the Lincoln Project, sending dick pictures to little kids and things. And Kemper Marley was the co-founder with Bronfman for his liquor empire. And, of course, Bronfman's son was financing Epstein, and his two daughters worked for Keith Raniere and the Nexium cult. Pedophiles, as far as the eye can see. Lincoln Project, Nexium, Epstein, Maxwell, and then some of their associates of the Maxwells were winners like Harvey Weinstein, who Barat taught to go to Black Cube to harass his victims. Moshe Katsev, who raped 4 Jewish women in Israel. And Ari Shur, who set up a pedophile ring with George Steinberg in Brazil, where they had child fucking tourism. Bring in Israeli tourists and provide them with little kids, like 8 years old and sometimes younger. The only reason they got caught is these jackasses on their smut site had the Israeli consulate swimming pool in the background. It's very identifiable where they were doing that on government property. And Steinberg got thrown under the bus. Barry Scher just fled to Israel and still had a job. And they tried to pawn him off in Australia, found out his history. They said no, so they sent him to Hong Kong or something, and still working there. You know, it doesn't even matter in Israel. Like, they didn't even have laws against human trafficking until very recently. It was like 2006 before that was even illegal. Wasn't
the former president of Israel convicted for that?
Yeah, Moshe Katsev. He was Barat's president. Yeah. While Barak was the prime minister a part of the time, Katsev got convicted, and it was like on his last year anyway. So he missed like 2 months. And that's because he raped other Jews. That's why he got in trouble. He should have just stuck to Goyim. Nobody would have cared. But Ehud Barat then was pictured outside of Epstein's mansions, right? With a big, big fluffy, furry hat, trying to disguise himself. And you're thinking, okay, well, we know it's a blackmailing operation. He is getting money from Epstein, and he is the prime minister of Israel, so maybe he went to get his intelligence or whatever. But you can send a guy to go do that or do it electronically. You don't got to go in person. You're the prime minister. No. What do you got to go to New York and get, just send somebody over from the Mossad or whatever. No, he went in person, and there's only one reason to visit Epstein in person.
He was on the, supposedly one of the names on the Lolita Express, right?
Yes, he was. And his number's on there anyway, and his name was blotted out, and they left his number. I was like, okay. Oh, and then he's pictured outside the New York Rape Mansion. And we got him. He finally confessed to going to Pedo Island, you know, but not for kids. So I'm like, what are you doing? Getting financial advice or something? Like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, maybe he's getting massages and keeping his underwear on.
Oh, yeah, they're all getting foot massages.
I got on Dershowitz.
Dershowitz raped a girl inside in Ohio inside of Wexner's properties. But he says, no, I just got a regular massage, but I kept my underwear on.
That's what, Now, of course,
I kept my underwear on.
Wexner is the guy in the mega group, right?
Is Bronfman. Bronfman
a mega
and Wexner
group.
Helped found that, but that's the second generation from the Sunborn Institute, which the other Bronfman was part of, Samuel. So, yeah.
And he's big in Ohio. There's a lot of, in Ohio, there's a lot of talk about.
He's the richest man in Ohio.
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio, that area. And they donate a lot of money, like university buildings and things like that.
Of course. They spread it around just enough to get away with what they're doing. And they like their names on buildings and stuff. But he gave a rape mansion to Jeff Epstein.
Yeah. And the ADL is there to protect their reputation from any criticism or scrutiny. That's what they cover.
That's how they're founded, right? When Mary Fagan was killed by Leo Frank,
covering up her rape or
first,
trying to cover
he's got a 13-year-old working in his pencil factory, which is against child labor laws. And then he'd been raping a whole slew of them. The whole town, all the girls were saying, yeah, me too, me too, me too. So they had a jail break in where they went and got this guy because they had bribed the ADL, bribed the governor for commuting a sentence. So they broke into the jail and lynched him and hanged him.
Yeah, it was like Governor Slayton was his name. And
Governor Slayton in Georgia.
Yeah, they hung him in effigy, and they were actually about to storm the governor's mansion, and he got hightailed out of there. And then he went to New York,
It makes me miss that. That was called Southern Justice, when they break in and lynch somebody that raped people. They knew what happened. When you rape someone in the South in the 19-teens and 20s, you seldom made it to trial. Like, this wasn't unusual. Like, everybody fucking knows what you did, and they're going to hang you. And
if you've been given clemency. The South kind of prided itself, particularly Atlanta, that they followed the procedures, gave him a fair trial. I think 3 or 4 appeals he failed. They weren't able to do that. Then they were able to get him clemency.
And including the other Jews on the jury found him guilty.
Who was that?
I mean, because he was guilty.
It was Tom Watson was the journalist down there who covered that. Tom Watson.
Watson, and they... Yeah. Remember, he tried to frame a couple black guys.
Yeah, that's another story about that. Yeah, they tried to. It's like, yeah, they're and that's the whole thing about up until then, the South was very philo-Semitic. I mean, they had Judah P. Benjamin, and they had Jewish generals and all that. It was the North. It was Grant and Sherman, who were anti-Semitic. But
kicked them out of the. Out of the Kentucky and Tennessee territories.
Exactly. But the South had nothing really against Jews. And then this was the beginning of the Jewish War in the South. They helped form the NAACP. And then, this was the answer to the Black National.
Southern Justice was it wasn't about him being Jewish. It's, he raped a bunch of people. So they went and got him. And that was common because these Yankee carpetbaggers and scallywags would go down there and just, they're guilty and they get away with it. The court was, so it was like, the court doesn't matter, right? We are going to find you guilty because the court's corrupt. Right?
There was a General Butler who, when he was occupying the South, said that all Southern women will be treated or assumed to be prostitutes or something. Benjamin Butler, the beast, I think. So that, this is what you do when you have a conquering army come in, especially, someone with an ideological fervor that they were kind of instilled with justify
they raped
their...
so many women, especially black women. There's a Kim Murphy did a book about it, and it's hard to get the numbers, but we have over 200,000 cases of syphilis in the Yankee army. They got spread around because they're all raping the same people, and then they went out west and they raped so many Native American women and before Wounded Knee, what they don't tell you because it's still skittish for some reason, but I'm like, well, why not? You killed them. That's just as bad. But those bodies in the snow had all been raped.
Mm-hmm.
They raped the little kids, women, everything. Sometimes they rape people to death. Gangs. That was just like execution, rape them to death. And putting up, the same thing that happened to Germans and stuff after World War II. I mean, they're grabbing chair legs and stuff and impaling people through their vaginas and disgusting shit. That's Custer. That's who Crazy Horse killed. A Crazy Horse should have a statue, not Custer.
Yeah. Well, that
does make me feel good that Jeb Stuart whooped his ass a few times before that, too.
Yeah. His name used to adorn high schools. Now they're taking those down.
I know. That's disgusting. He's still got a county, so whatever.
Yeah. You know, it used to be cool, man, as Southerners were running rings around the, you know, the Yankees, and there was an admiration, you know, for their generalship and the way they dealt with adversity. At least an admiration for a foe that put on a honorable defense, and that's all been wiped.
They're defending clean. Their own cities. I mean, yes. The Yankee armies were hell bent on burning Richmond to the ground the way they had Atlanta, mm-hmm. and Lee wouldn't let them.
So. But back to the Omega Group, and I think is this again one of these purported charities, of course. But this is how they kind of organize, you know, their power structure. This goes back, I mean, even before the State of Israel, before there was even a Zionist
Mega
state.
Mega short for right.
What is
Mega? Mega is the nickname. The Mega Donors is the full name.
Okay, Mega. Yeah, and so you have all these, you know, these Jewish billionaires who despite, you know, people say that Jews are cheap with money, they're very generous with their money giving to causes they support. There was an interesting thing I read when T. Boone Pickens, the old billionaire oil guy, when he passed away, he bequeathed a lot of money to the Oklahoma football state university football team. You know, that's what they support. But Jewish billionaires actually support things that further their perceived interest or their causes. You know, that's one thing that the Goyim Gentiles don't do. They don't see they have any definable interest against this other ethnic group. You know, that's one of the problems with, you know, we're dealing
well,
with.
Well, you know, Jack Valente of JFK infamy, mm-hmm. one of his sponsors was Arnold Spielberg, who's a grandfather to the mega group. Of course, everybody knows his son, Steven Spielberg.
What, Steven Spielberg wasn't self-made?
Well, he did make a lot of money in the movies, but yeah. Arnold was an engineer before that, made mm-hmm. quite a bit of money. Yeah.
So he had an in, so to speak, in the industry.
Well, look, if your best buddy is, and Steven's friends with him too, but if you're friends with Jack Valente, then you know there's mafia. Like,
yes, yeah. So. Not to take any away from some of his movies, but yeah.
Oh, Steven's movies. Yeah. Well, look, Bill Cosby was a good comedian, yes. but, you know, look what he did.
Yes.
Chris Benoit was a great wrestler, but, you know, didn't end well. So, yeah, I mean, Unabomber wrote some great stuff, but he also blew up people in the mail. So you can do good things and be a shithead, you know.
But I have some good points about modern society. I can't. He was a test subject, though. He wasn't he a MK Ultra, one of these drug LSD.
That's
cases?
What they say. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. He was, again, these guys don't spring out of the ether. I mean, people don't really, you know, you just peel it back a little further and put this thing.
Well, you
to
look
context.
At what big tech is doing and normalizing pedophilia and shutting everything mm-hmm. down, and like this is the big tech dystopian nightmare that the Unabomber warned us about.
Yeah,
this mm-hmm. is the cliff, and you're gonna fly right off it.
Yep, yep. But here we have this with the Biden administration, and he has
Shalom.
Yeah. Seriously, an overrepresentation, if there's such a thing, of Jews in the Biden administration, and sort of this apparent, you know, Zionist domination of U.S. foreign policy, which isn't anything really new, at least in the past.
Joe Biden said, "I am a Zionist."
Yes. This is a problem because recognizing Jewish influence and the interest of the Jewish lobby, the fact that it does do the bidding of a foreign state. But nevertheless, we can't criticize this influence, nor criticize
Jewish. Yeah, I
don't
call it Jewish lobby. It's an Israeli lobby.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. That's what it really is. Jew is an excuse. It's like, oh, yeah, Holocaust, whatever. Like, shut the fuck up. You are a lobby for Israel, which colonizes Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And blows up, you know, routinely doing airstrikes in Syria is the entire reason the U.S. went to war in Iraq twice. Like, they don't do anything good in real politics sense. It's not for American interests. It's just a group of lobbyists / blackmailers that have found their way into bribing or blackmailing their way into power through its bottlenecks.
And there's real carnage here because not only the wars that they sponsor and they promote and all the financial chicanery, the manipulation, is there's, you know, like I said, human trafficking, children, people being utilized.
And organ trafficking.
Yeah.
And pedophile rings. They all have the same thing in common, the same sponsors. Like, we went over three of them with NXIVM and Epstein and the Lincoln Project. And the other shoe hasn't dropped on the Lincoln Project. But you're seeing all these guys are compromised, right? Mitt Romney, all the rest. That's why they are where they are. And you could go to Charles Haskett or George Bush or Karl Rove. And Karl Rove knew about Weaver's shenanigans. But I'm sure people knew about what Miss Piggy was doing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Google that, by the way, people. Karl Rove, Miss Piggy. Yeah. It'll stain your brain. You don't want to see it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a control system, a control file system. It's a brownstone operation. We know that. Was it two years ago? I guess it was the summer of 2018.
What you were asking. Sorry, I missed it. It's 73% of Biden's cabinet is Jewish. That's a little bit of overrepresentation, don't you think?
Now, is this because they're like high achievers?
You know who actually tweeted about it? It was Ann Coulter. They're like, look at all the diversity. And she said 73% of America is not Jewish.
Which is interesting because she's sort of like boomer conservative Reaganite type stuff.
I think she notices.
I think she's not
a noticer. Yeah. How can you not?
Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State, David Cohen, CIA Director, Merrick Garland, Attorney General, Avril Haines, Director of National Intelligence, Ronald Klain, White House Chief of Staff, Eric Lander, Office of Science Technology Policy Director, Rachel Levine. He's the man who pretends to be a girl, a woman, who's now the Assistant Secretary of Health, and he's from Pennsylvania. Alejandro Mayorkas, a Cuban. He is Jewish. Secretary of Homeland Security, Anne Neuberger. That's an interesting guy. I just read a Phil Giraldi article about her. National Security Agency, cybersecurity. She has direct connections to AIPAC and these questionable foundations. Wendy Sherman, Deputy Secretary of State. Janet Yellen, of course, Treasury Secretary, former Chairwoman of the Federal Reserve, of course, preceded by Ben Shalom Bernanke and Alan Greenspan. Mm-hmm. So, again, high achievers. You're just so good.
It sounds like when you're reading that list of the Steins and Bergs, it sounds like that old Funny or Die thing from Marilyn Manson about the zombie attack. You ever seen this? They're like, we've gotten patient zero, and it's a bunch of Jewish names.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do we do? And like, I don't know, like we could burn them. Like, no. We could gas them. Oh, no. And they decide to just get eaten by them instead because that's better than being accused of being racist. And it's just perfect because I think liberal journalists would rather be eaten by a zombie than somebody think that they might be anti-Semitic. You know? Yeah, that whole list, though, and it's not because high achievers. It's because Israel has bribed its way into those positions, and that's who they want there. And Biden complies because the Biden family is so compromised. His son, his brothers, himself, like, they're the worst. And they're like, the media won't report it. Like, this laptop came out, pump the brakes, right? It's Biden. He's our guy. Don't say anything. And there's a total Zionist control over the media. And so if they don't like you, you're getting hit. And if you obey, just like McCain, right? None of that shit came out about McCain. They're not going to say anything about Biden either.
And yeah, you hear
you
more
don't
about
have to scratch very deep to find a scandal with the Bidens and their smoking crack and sexual escapades and rest. Joe Biden can't keep his hands off little kids even when there's a fucking camera and he knows it.
Yep.
He just does it anyway. Yep. I'll cop a feel where creepy Uncle Joe.
And
they say he's got dementia. I'm like, he's also a drunk.
Well, he has to. Evidently, he does. I mean, he's suffering cognitive decline. That's another problem. A lot of our political leaders are so old. Nancy Pelosi's 80. Joe Biden's approaching that. He's like 79 this year, I think. And
dumb. Even when she was younger, she sounded like that.
Yeah.
Too many pills in her purse.
Well, that's another. Pelosi's another one. And Pelosi's another one who comes from a crime family.
She's a crime family. She's addicted to prescription drugs.
But she's the one that says, you know, when they're debating aid to Israel, says, there's no debate. It's just who we are.
She's just what we do. You know? She's admitting it, at least.
Yeah. But, her, I mean, her father, as mayor of Baltimore, was tied into the, if it were crime family, it was one of the five families in New York. But it was part of that heroin, post-war heroin deal, you know, with the French Connection all on the East Coast, you know. But then he, you know, he was...
probably then Giovesi with Lansky and
I think it's Giovesi. Yeah, yeah. Genovese. But he secured the ports of Baltimore for shipments and all that, and he was friends with guys that had ultimate ties to Luciano operation.
I always call Genovese Genovesi and banana.
Yeah,
just because they hate it, so I can do it anyway.
but it's a problem. But basically, I mean, this is the problem: is that, you know, with the, you can't talk about the Israeli influence and the Jewish lobby because you'd be accused of anti-Semitism. It's the way is that E. Michael Jones had a good quote, very succinct. He said Jewish political power is based on the control of discourse. The main way in which Jews control discourse is by accusing anyone of anti-Semitism who disagrees with or criticizes the Jews.
Gellert Osman has got a good one, too. He says, Jewish power is the ability to prevent talking about Jewish power.
Yes, that's another
Kevin Albert Strom had a good one. He said, to learn who rules over you, just see who you're not allowed to criticize. But yeah. I've got a better one. So this is the Dawson one. To learn who rules over you, just buy Mel Gibson a beer. Or a shot, maybe you take more than a beer, but
but the idea of Zionism, and this just goes back to its founders. The idea was that theoretically, the Jews of the diaspora everywhere around the world are citizens of this new state, and they can, you know, right of return, they can go back, and that should under the Zionist ideas, that's where their primary loyalty should be with the Jewish people. Manifested in the Zionist state that was created in 1948. Well, that presents a problem then, because what is the status of Jewish citizens in their host countries, as they would be? I mean, are they loyal to the host country, or are they loyal to Israel and those agencies that represent Israel, those interests and all that? And so for those non-Jews in that country, it creates a valid question of loyalty. What's their loyalty? Should they be given positions of trust high within the government, within society and culture and these things, if they do have these this dual loyalty or separate loyalty? And
who's
also
the Jewish professor from Wake Forest that was calling them out, and he was saying dual loyalty, that's not a trope, that's a fact.
Yeah. I always say it'd be an improvement, you know. Dual loyalty, but this is a real problem.
Right, there's no dual in it, is there?
I don't detect.
That's why Israel doesn't become a 51st state. Then they'd only have two senators.
Well, just the pardon of Jonathan Pollard. What does that highlight? Is there any better illustration of this problem than Jonathan Pollard's pardon? The worst, apparently the most damaging spy operation in the history of the United States. Mm-hmm. His life in prison. And from the moment he's sentenced, Jews start lobbying for his pardon. Then then Donald Trump signs his pardon. He's flown home on Sheldon Adelson's plane. Private jet, and he receives a hero's welcome in Israel. Now, if Israel is our greatest ally, why are they celebrating a traitor to our country as a hero? You know, is a cognitive dissonance here. I asked that question.
Well, no one knows that happened because the Zionist media didn't say anything about it. They said nothing about Jonathan Pollard. They didn't say he was released, and they didn't mention his hero's welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's out of sight, out of mind, and like the lemmings have to see it on TV or they don't believe it.
Well, am I bigoted if I, we have a Jew as Secretary of State, a Jew as Director of Central Intelligence, a Jew Attorney General, a Jew Director of National Intelligence, White House Chief of Staff, a Jew, whatever, and so on and so on.
All six media companies are owned by Jews. If they'd all been North Koreans, you might scratch your head and go,
that's
hey,
what I'm saying. I mean, then if they have this, theoretically, at least a dual loyalty issue. They're loyal to Israel first. That's a problem. It's a national security issue for the United States, isn't it?
Well, the people you mentioned, they're not just Jewish. They're all pro-Israel. All of them.
you can go to the record. This like Phil Jordan's article about Ann Neuberger, and she's National Security Agency head for cybersecurity, but she has ties to AIPAC and this foundation that her billionaire father set up, you know, that has direct ties to, like, these Israeli security tech outfits. Well, what do you think is going to happen there? I mean, and ordinarily, this would, I'm not saying she should be arrested because of this. I'm saying just deny her a security clearance. Ordinarily, if I had, you know, if during the Cold War, would you name a Russian head of Directorate of Central Intelligence or head of security or something at the National Security Agency? No, but that doesn't apply because only because they're Jewish and it's Israel.
No one else could get away with it.
Yeah.
No other country could pull that off. They're all Chinese. You just would wonder. You know, we don't have that many Chinese Americans. Why are they dominating all these positions?
Yeah.
And you look at these bribery and blackmail scandals and, you know, of the current year, of these giant Jewish billionaires with ties to the Israeli state, like the Maxwell family and so on. And it's just, nothing to see here. And even Tucker Carlson and some of the, like, less shitty talking heads, they're not going to say jack about it, because that's career suicide.
No,
you can't even say anything online, and they're trying to really discredit news that is online by polluting it the same way they polluted the 9/11 movement with the whole no planers and stuff. And
that's so easy to do.
They're doing that with Epstein too. You got the tunnel people, and
yes,
it's like, shut the fuck up. There's no fucking tunnels. Yes, there were airplanes. But they want it. You'd be like, nah, you need an official source from TV because everything else is garbage. Anybody with a sane voice, right? Anybody with a sane voice online is getting banned. Yet they promote all the filth.
Yeah. Well, but then again, you can solicit minors for sex on Twitter, right. But you can't speculate about 9/11 or voter fraud or the effect, the safety effect of a vaccine. Or Kyle Chested. Rittenhouse.
Just say Kyle Rittenhouse did nothing wrong. See what happens.
Well, he
killed a pedophile, right? Joseph Rosenbaum, ethnicity unknown, raped twin 5-year-olds. He went to prison for 13 years. That's the ginger that grabbed him and got shot in the nuts.
Yes.
Like, he might not have even been shot by Kyle. He was hit in the back, too. Someone was shooting at Kyle.
Well, no one's questioning why we're leaving it up to, you know, minor teenagers to defend property in Kenosha, Wisconsin, when there's a police force.
Right.
Right.
That's just sitting there watching them burn things.
Yeah.
But that's the delusion that for all these cop and lawyer shows act like police are there to protect you. They're not. They're there for the state.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, if they hit a federal building or anything to do with government, then the cops would be cracking skulls and shooting at you.
Well, isn't that the difference between what happened on Capitol on January 6th and what happened on January 20th, 2017?
Or like the mayor's house in Portland or whatever, then they'll come, you know. Yeah. But they don't care if it's a business. So, yeah, burn it, loot it, whatever. It's not us. Get insurance. The left has been rioting all year long, including in government buildings, right, at the Kavanaugh hearings and things that occupy the Senate building, the Hart building, in mass, signs and weapons and everything. And the media didn't. They're like, it's a mostly peaceful protest. And they were killing people and assaulting people. And they were stealing. They were toppling statues and burning businesses. And still, they're like, oh, yeah, it's mostly peaceful. Like, you don't need the media to tell you it's wrong. You should be able to see it with your own eyes and say, hey, you can't set a building on fire. But their answer was, yeah, blah, 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 George Floyd or something. And there's no relationship between what happened to George Floyd and setting Louis Vuitton on fire or whatever by a bunch of communists. But the DAs and stuff just let them out. They didn't care. They're like, we got to get Trump out so the left can do whatever it wants. Any crime doesn't matter. We got to get him out because he's not one of us. And Trump was very loyal to Israel.
Yes.
But he only gave 9 out of 10, and he wouldn't give him the war in Syria. And he hired a non-Jewish Federal Reserve chair and several Goyim judges. And to you and me and anyone doing normal, that doesn't matter. But to Zionists, you got to think of it how a Jewish supremacist sees that. What? It's not one of us? Like, because they're obsessed with race. Normal people, they don't think about that at all. But to them, it's their world. They're identitarians. Everything's about race and sex and categories. And they want to be in charge of the Federal Reserve. And they want to be overrepresented on the Supreme Court. And, when Ruth Ginsburg died and Trump put a Catholic in charge, oh my God, the left lost its mind. But they are told what to be outraged about. And the Zionist media was against Trump from his very first day. They went after Flynn because he did not get Russia or anybody else on the Security Council to veto a resolution condemning the settlements. He failed at his mission. So out he went for a long time. And Trump would not go to war in Syria. He's like, let Russia and Syria handle it. And that was the script, like Iraq, Libya, Syria. And they didn't get Syria. Assad is still there. Biden, the first thing he and Kamala tweet about is going back into Syria. Right? And it's just, why? It's not in U.S. interest at all. They're supposed to be talking about the Iran deal up until today. Today's the deadline, by the way, where Iran said, if you don't lift sanctions, then F you, we're enriching uranium because you're putting sanctions on us, accusing us of doing it. We're not doing it. So if you're going to sanction us, then why shouldn't we enrich uranium?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the sanctions are supposed to be to turn against that. They're going to end up causing it instead. But they don't care. They're like, yes, we want you to do, so we can point to it and go, you're building a nuclear bomb, and now we need to invade Iran. That's the whole point. Strangle them, poke them, provoke them until they act, and then react to your own provocations and act like it came out of the blue, start a story in the middle, and now you have caucus belli. Go to war. And, Bush Jr. almost did it in 2007, but the lies about Iraq were so bad and see-through that they just didn't have the clout to do it, even after September 11th. And that story fell apart so bad that making another building go kaboom is a pretty big risk, because I don't think half America would believe it. They'd be like, nah, you did it yourself or something. You know, like,
but not anymore. Yeah.
The internet was free for just a little while, and that was enough to wake enough people up. Now they're closing it down again. But I'll tell you what, I got to invite you to this too. We got a way around this. It's called PeerTube. It's decentralized. It lets you live stream.
Yeah, I saw that on your website. Just sign up for it or something.
I will give you one of my nerds, and that will set you up. We can we can get all your old interviews archived on there, and you can start live streaming on there too.
Oh, cool.
I'm happy to set you up with that.
I've been using Rumble, which seems pretty easy. Rumble
doesn't have live. Rumble only is archival. So
yeah,
and you can do both. You can
just
do your live stream and then put a copy on Rumble like you would have been anyway. So
yeah,
you can do that. But this is automatic. We can automatically grab everything from your BitChute or your old YouTube. Well, your YouTube's all private now, right? Because the woke mob.
Well, I still have some old material on there. Every once in a while, one gets pulled because someone discovers that it's not politically correct.
Right. It's unlisted, whatever. But yeah, we can grab all those too. We can grab all your stuff and upload it. The robots will put it on PeerTube for you. And we'd love to have you over there. Like, this is what we're building is, we're not going to challenge YouTube on like everything, just the political stuff, right? We're not going to compete with K-pop videos and makeup tutorials and video games or whatever is popular on YouTube, just news, right? And because everyone's being kicked off, and BitChute and Rumble don't have live, DLive's gone woke, Trovo's gone woke, so this is where it's at. And I was just did an interview with Red Ice. They're coming on board, Libertarian Institute's coming on board, and all walks of life, many of which would not get along with each other, but doesn't matter. Just change the channel. The point is, I'm not saying no to anybody. I don't care what you think. Just, as long as it's within the law, you have a right to be stupid. You have a right to be wrong. Yeah, and maybe I'm wrong. So what? I think so, but I might be the stupid one. But we all have a right to be heard, put it out there. So I think PeerTube is like the internet of 2008 or so, back when you could say things. I see old videos of mine and I'm shocked. I'm like, I can't believe I said that. Censorship is so thick now. I go, damn, I just didn't care. It didn't matter. Now I've got all these code words and stuff on YouTube. I got to talk about blueberry sandwiches and stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even say Siri. I have to say cereal, and strawberry means Damascus. And, you know, because you can't talk about it at all. Can't talk about so many subjects, especially this COVID-19 nonsense, pants shitter, hide under the bed crap. Yeah. So bad. And I've had people be like, I got my shot today. I'm getting another one soon. And I'm like, why are you telling me that? I don't care. I'm like, I'm not taking one.
No, I don't risk it with my immune system. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not scared of a cold. Do you even math? That's what I want to tell people. They enjoy being obedient. It's like, I'm a good little.
Yeah. It's almost like it's a, they don't have to think for themselves. They don't, it's a weight off their back, I guess they think. But compliance just makes it worse. I mean, it's like any, you know.
Authority told me this is a good thing to do, and you should do it too. You're going to kill grandma.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a thing, a school that had a set of plexiglass dividers for each desk. It's
inhumane. Mask up their face and put them in boxes.
Yeah.
It's like the Pink Floyd video.
It is something like that, yeah. And they had a teacher saying, did the school board even look at this before they spent $5 million? Of course, the $5 million was probably provided by, you know, a PPE fund from the federal government, you know, money out of thin air that they send to the states to comply with. And, you know, the school board's
actually, small businesses, they shut down.
Yeah. And you sit down at the desk, you couldn't even see the board. And then she's supposed to wipe down each cubicle in between classes. It just, no one thought about it. It's just insane. And this, the psychological effect of this stuff on kids, you know.
Unfortunately, we don't have that in Japan yet.
You didn't go crazy there. No, that's
plexiglass, and yeah. Kids don't have to wear a mask. But kids from like 10 and up are wearing masks at school. They don't have plexiglass yet, but. it's not the whole country though, but it's like Osaka, Tokyo, Nagoya, and a couple other places. So it's bad. It's not America bad, but it's bad.
Yeah, but it's amazing. You know, we hear where the governors did it. You know, with the lockdowns, and Trump kind of floundered, kind of let it happen, and it, you know, they appealed to federalism as they shut all the businesses down and deprived everyone of their rights. It's like, what's the purpose of the 14th Amendment if the state's allowed to do this?
Well, the best part about the vaccine is it doesn't prevent you from getting the virus, and it doesn't prevent you from spreading the virus. Like, then what's the point?
Yeah.
It's just an obedience test.
And it's an mRNA. It's not even a vaccine. It's
pharma.
It's a gene therapy. It's not, they're not giving you attenuated, as problematic as those are. This
is not like dead cell. Yeah, it's not even a real vaccine.
It's supposed to, and then our doctors predicted this could create like
they banned RFK Jr.
Yeah.
He's like the top guy that has done research into all this, and they banned his Instagram.
Well, you don't want to debate him.
I'd love to debate him because I'd learn from him, you know?
Yeah.
He knows his shit, you know? Yeah. For me, the purpose of the debate is to figure out what's right, not who's right.
Well,
I'd love to ask him questions, you know, because I don't know as much about vaccines as he does.
Yeah.
You know, I know not to be afraid of the coof, though.
Well, it's like, did they devote any resources to promoting like public? America's got an obesity crisis. Everyone's got true. People have, they're obese. They have, they don't eat right. They don't exercise. Then, you know, look at the food they're eating. It's denatured, processed food. And then they're going to come at you and they're going to say, get the shot. That'll make everything okay. Well, no. You know, they would have.
A Japanese friend tell me he respects Americans who are in shape more. And I was like, I was like, why? And he said, because like all the Americans he know that are in shape, like everything they pick up, they're reading labels and stuff because there's so much shit.
Yeah,
in the food that to be in shape in America means not only do you have to work out and all that, but you have to have severe self-discipline, and because you got to sift through everything you eat and look through and almost get like a fucking dietary degree because
of all the processed foods
and stuff.
The kosher tax?
Oh, yeah, your Circle K. I know.
I mean,
but like in Japan, like the food is just, you know, it's healthy. You don't have to try. You just eat it and it's all right. In America, you got to look everything up and you have to avoid all this stuff that's so easy for you to get that's bad for you, you know. So it takes a lot more self-discipline.
But instead of like the U.S. government cracking down on the food supply and the tainted food supply and the chemicals, they give everyone these shots, you know, but to deal with the problem, you know, whether it's
another layer of dumb than that. On top of that, they're subsidizing the corn syrup industry and stuff. Like they're making the bad stuff cheap. Because if you're a Walmartian, I'll explain this to people because I used to have to shop at Walmart myself. People are not shopping at Walmart to save 3 cents because they're frugal. They're not shopping at Walmart because they think it's awesome. They're shopping at Walmart because that's the most cost efficient way they can so they can survive.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to eat that crap. It's just that's what's affordable. And if you're living hand to mouth, you're like, well, yeah, I can get a packet of hot dogs for 99 cents. And you know how bad those 99 cent hot dogs are.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't afford the $4 ones, whatever. Not every day. Now you don't have money. And so people, college kids and stuff, they're like eating all that crap from Walmart. They're doing it because that's within their budget. It's not because they think it's like, oh yeah, I love the off-brand cereal or whatever. No, they hate it. It just costs less. And they don't have any fucking money. And now it's worse.
Yeah.
Way worse when I was in that situation. Because now it's like, oh, well, I have a job. And it shut down because people are scared of a cough.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody went and everybody ran under the bed.
Yeah. And then if you're living at home, or you're stuck at home, you're quarantined or locked down, as they say. You're more sedentary. You're watching more TV, perhaps. You're eating more crap food, and it's just
you're not getting as much sunlight.
Everyone gaining weight. Yeah.
My eldest son's school, because they canceled school for months in the beginning of this crap, and which means they canceled sports and all that too. And he came back and was like, "Dad, everybody got fat. Everybody was stuck at home playing games or whatever." Mm-hmm. And their parents like wouldn't let them go outside. Because they're, you know, the TV's telling them it's smallpox or something. And soccer and basketball and all that stuff was canceled. And, you know, they gain weight because they're sedentary. And I think that is more of a factor than the food. Like,
big time.
The amount of time people spend on the computer or on some kind of gaming console. And I'm not against video games and I'm not against using a computer. I use a computer for my job.
Yep.
And I think video games are fun, but there's too much of it. It's just too much.
Well, it's a proper balance. And especially with, you know, if people aren't getting vitamin D in the summertime, they're going to be more vulnerable in the fall for these things. Yeah. What's surprising is that there's been almost...
Gingers will outlive us all.
They've completely eradicated the flu because no one got the flu this year.
Yeah, no one died of old age either.
No one died of old age.
Cancer is not killing as many people because any comorbidity that's attributed to COVID.
Yes. Well, yeah, they admitted that, and then they still come.
Larry King got his vaccine and died a week later.
Henry Aaron. Yep.
Yeah. Too.
So
we lost some good people this year. Leon Spinks.
But you saw the video from Run DMC, so I'm convinced. So.
Oh yes. Oh my gosh, that was the most cringe thing. I thought someone else made that as a satire.
That's what I thought it was too at first.
I'm like, this is great. Who did this? Because it can't be real.
Because nothing can be that stupid, right? That can be that stupid, right?
Yeah, they played it for me when I was on Red Ice, and I thought, oh man, this is pretty good. Because I do the funny commercials, you know, at Home Regard, Cognitive After Alpha, and all that stuff. And I thought, oh, they made one. And I was going with it, and I was like, wait. It dawned on me, like, this is really cheesy.
Wow. So, like, might see on Saturday Night Live, and Saturday Night Live used to be funny.
Yeah, you know? I thought it was like a living color type of thing.
Yeah, something like that. No, but, you know, that's another thing is the death of you. Did you, like, the death of, like, political humor, Harold? You just think about...
It's all left-wing.
All left-wing.
You're not allowed on Comedy Central or any of those channels unless you're left-wing. But online, there's some good right-wing ones.
Oh, I'll, yeah. I'll promote a few. J.P. Sears. Yeah.
J.P. Sears is great. Ryan Long. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Ryan Long? Ryan Long's the skit he did about rehabilitating a Vox blogger. So good.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Yeah.
Sam Tripoli's pretty good. You got to see that Ryan Long rehabilitating a Vox blogger. It's so good.
And there's Babylon Bee.
Babylon Bee is all the old Onion employees that left.
Are those Onion people? Because
so what happened was the Onion got bought by a Blueberry and ruined, and so the Onion staff just left, and now they're at Babylon Bee doing that.
That's how, because they're. I thought it seemed like the same thing, and then some of their. I think they're Christian, right?
Don't know. Probably pretty good odds.
They had the headline that went something like, was it the headline? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez almost strangles herself by trying to tie her shoes because she's so stupid.
There was some leftist that thought Tucker put googly eyes on AOC. He has a picture of her going giant eyes. And it's like, no, man, that's her eyes.
No, that's her eyes.
Fox has put googly eyes on AOC. No, they didn't. That's a real photo.
Yeah, she's an argument against the 19th Amendment.
Holy hell. That's perfect, though. She came out of New York.
Yes.
And it's like, that's who those Yankees elected. A bartender.
I like how she went an hour and a half telling this harrowing story, how she survived the siege. Even though she was in the Cannon office building half a mile away.
She's in a different building. I was waiting for her to say she escaped 9 camps.
Yeah,
and then killed a guard with an axe.
12 times, a dozen times, pooped him out.
Fortunately, during the siege, another peasant brought her apples every day. Threw them over the fence.
Met her husband or something. You know?
Yeah, future husband. Frozen splat.
But is it typical, like, sort of her generation to make it all about her? I mean, it's just...
I think we should do a spoof on the Capitol siege and be like, and there were electric floors and there were eagles and bears and there was a roller coaster.
Well, I said that was that there'll be a memorial to it where 6 million
the Trumpers were building a roller coaster. They're gonna attach us to it. It led to a giant oven.
They actually called themselves survivors, by the way. That's not
I know exaggerated. They're like giving a speech like, I was a survivor. It's like, shut the fuck up. Aren't you the bitch that just sent drone strikes to kill little babies in Yemen?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck
that's,
you.
What was that white Democrat saying that he felt guilty because he was privileged because he could oppose as a Republican that day and survive?
Yeah, he's like, maybe I could blend in. Like, oh, so it was an all-white gang? Because it wasn't, but...
Well, they turned it into a white supremacy thing. You know,
everything's white supremacy to these people.
You know why?
Anything happens
cause,
is...
Because the issue is
Kyle Rittenhouse is white supremacist from that. Just...
These people are
so skittish. I'm thinking about selling stub my toe insurance. You know, Democrats would buy it.
You got within 100 feet of taxpayers. Eek! You know.
I was on the subway today. There was lots of white people, and I felt so uncomfortable.
Oh yes, it's like white supremacist. That's out of nowhere. I'm like, all of a sudden, Lloyd
he's like, my brown and black colleagues would not be able to blend in. That's where I felt the real privilege.
And this is, and then they're trying to root out media
would have reamed this guy. It's still majority white population in the country. You're acting like this was some sort of racist onslaught. There's nothing racist about what they wanted to do was they wanted to be heard about voter fraud.
Yes.
Because it had been ignored. The irony is it was being talked about on the House floor. Senate and congressmen had it in writing. you know, were willing to run on Arizona, and they were going over the anomalies of the election, and then the retard rally comes in and disrupted the whole thing. And I guarantee you COINTELPRO was in that crowd encouraging them to go into the building because they did not want to have a hearing about voter fraud.
Yeah, that's why there was a stand down with security. They let them in, and then you had this whole thing with that. They've identified Antifa or Antifa-linked people, like the one guy Sullivan who was...
Yeah, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and so it's self-evident. I mean, it's so
FBI, though, because even Antifa kicked that guy out because he's always like, yeah, come on, be violent, take the building down. And they're like, whoa, whoa, what's wrong with you? You know, that's an agent provocateur. Mm-hmm. And he was in Antifa, and he was in Black Lives Matter, and he was in the, put on a MAGA hat, and he was at the Trump rally.
Yeah.
Right? But then CNN and all have him on, like, so what'd you see? You didn't he film the woman that was killed?
Ashley Babbitt.
Yes, Babbitt. I was thinking Betsy for some reason. I knew that wasn't it. I think that was supposed to escalate things more. They shot a woman and another woman. Yeah, they thought, now they're all going to come in here. Now we can just machine gun them or whatever. But they didn't react. They didn't bite. And he was there, egging them on and there, filming it.
Yeah.
He's in position, their agent, and he's the guy that gets the footage. Uh-huh.
Well, it's textbook color revolution tactics.
That's a spook. You know it is. And I mean,
of course, they haven't identified they haven't officially identified the shooter, from what I understand.
Did they get him?
They haven't identified him officially.
He's in photographs.
Who he is, you know.
Well,
since when is that public information if it's a clean shoot? I don't understand. But then again, you'd
be hiding his identity if there was nothing wrong with shooting her.
Yeah. You know, then you need a media to report this. There's just some, it's, you know, they're not even doing, going to the pretense or just the.
No. You know. And you know what, though? If we build PureTube up, fuck all these platforms and the horse they rode in on. Like, people will start going there for news. I'm afraid, like, I do not want the weirdos taking over. So I'm trying to get everyone that's been banned for legitimate journalism to congregate in one spot. And this will be the place people go to get real news. And we can all federate with each other and sort of insulate from the kooks and the spooks. So they can continue on YouTube or whatever, their propaganda on Facebook and stuff. Let them have it. Because that stuff's just going to, people are going to look at it like it's a crazy farm.
Well, every time the media denies these things or claims that there's no evidence of this or this is just, they just shred more credibility. Now to the point now where, you know, you have the U.S. government declaring war effectively on half the population of the United States. You know, that's what Tulsi Gabbard said. You want to declare war in half the country? It's ridiculous. 75 million Americans are saying, you know. And it's at
probably
that point,
they probably threw some votes out.
Yeah, I know exactly. You know, so who, you know, at that point, he's scared of
Trump called him fake news. I know how bad Trump sucks on lots of stuff, but
he
called him fake news, and most people bought that narrative. Yeah, it's like, yeah, whatever, you fake news. Every time the New York Times or CNN or anything, they don't call me anymore. But anytime they tried to like bait me into doing a story with them, I would just say, you're fake news.
Click. Yeah.
And that infuriates them. But I'm like, if I talk to you, you're just going to lie about what I said. I know it. So no, you're fake news. I won't speak to you.
And then was they're calling for a reality czar? Ministry of Truth, okay, fine. I mean, you already have one. That's what you are. I mean, that's your narrative control, the narrative complex.
Like, I'm waiting for it to end, but it's not going to.
No.
Like, this clown world is how we live now. And if we don't get real alternative media, if this PureTube network doesn't work, we're fucked. Mm-hmm. Because it's like they have all the major platforms and they have all the televised media and they will control what you get to see and hear, which is tantamount to what you think. So this is our one shot, our last hope.
Yeah. Well, one advantage of this, they've exposed themselves in the past year, I think, with the false pandemic and all the contradictory instructions and news and diktats and mandates that coming out and doesn't make any sense. And then you have this election, just blatant, you know, a theft, fraud,
right.
And then the cover up. But then even the impeachment stuff is just bad optics. It just looks petty, stupid. All the problems that they've created, by the way, with the economy, and they're worried about, you know, having commissioned and investigate what happened on January 6th, like the 9/11. She says, Nancy Pelosi says she
was
on 9/11.
Sorry? They said it was worse than 9/11.
Yeah, they were worse than 9/11. Then they're calling for a 9/11 commission. Oh, yeah, that got to the bottom of it.
Right. It's like the Warren Commission or the Tower Commission. Or,
yeah.
You know, overlapping members, by the way.
Yes.
With all three of those. Lee Hamilton is in one. What happens with the Lemmings, though, is like they see it, but they don't see that other people see it. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have confidence because they go online and they're thinking, Leslie, they stole the election. Yeah. But they don't hear that from anyone else because it's been sanitized by Facebook, Twitter, or whatever they're using. They don't see how many, unless you're on VK or something, how many people agree with it. Yeah, obviously it was stolen. Here's the reasons 1 through 6 million of how we know. And like, yeah, I thought so. So that's the great thing about this Pleroma and PeerTube and Element is it's our own Twitter. It's our own Discord. It's our own YouTube. And you can go there and see, yeah, there are millions of people who do agree with you that you've been shielded from seeing or communicating with by Zog Tech.
Yeah, and this will be a problem. This is what the New York Times calls. What was it? They had an article about people having conversations online.
Oh, my gosh. It's decentralized. We can't censor them. This is a huge problem.
People are having conversations on their dinner table.
People are allowed to talk to other people, and we don't know what they're saying.
Yeah. This is what taverns used to be for, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Right? You go to the tavern, there's always one guy who's kind of like in the conspiracy, and everyone kind of made fun of him. But when something weird happened, they'd go to him for the information. And
do you notice what they do to bars and clubs now, though? They blare the music so loud, you can't have a conversation.
That's one thing I've noticed. Yeah, they get annoying. Is noise.
You can't have a conversation. You drink and dance, but you can't speak to people unless it's right in front of the bathroom or something. Like,
yeah.
There are people that meet, and they're like, part of the socialization is not just like drinking and grinding on each other. You see somebody interesting, or whatever, and you want to talk to them. Yeah. You can't just kind of scream right up to their ear a few times. But if you go outside to talk, you might not be allowed back in or whatever. They blare music so you can't organize at the taverns or whatever anymore.
Well, that's
all the super loud music.
It's stupid public health mandates. So they don't take into consideration just the practical effect of these restrictions, how people respond to them, the dynamic effect. They take a static approach. Assuming, let's say, public health officials and politicians are good faith, they have the best of intentions, which I don't think is the case. This is for the sake of the argument they do.
Yeah, it's a pretty big for sake of.
Yeah, but just shut down all taverns and bars. What's going to happen? People are going to rent hotel rooms and have parties in their garages and in those various houses. So you have the same thing occurring anyway, just all over the place. Then L.A. County, which is bankrupt, they actually divide what they call it a super spreader task force. And I go, well, the SS. But anyway.
The SS.
their job is to break up parties. Yeah, for every one party you break up, there's 1,000 you can't get. You don't have the resources for that.
They have like speakeasy gyms.
That's the people. Yeah. And so this from
they closed the libraries and the gyms, but they kept the marijuana
liquor stores open. We can get the lottery
like that. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. They like with the masks. Let's say the masks did work. Let's just for sake of the argument. Obviously they're nonsense.
Yeah, I'm coming to LA in a week. No, in like 5 days actually.
Oh, you're gonna see what it's like. Like
assuming I can get there, I gotta get a COVID test and other bullshit.
COVID test. But if people, let's say the mask did work, but what's the practical effect of millions of people using masks every day,
it's a great obedience test.
Exactly. What's the objective? But obviously, people aren't going to do it the way that would make them work properly anyway, because you're going to reuse them like everyone does, and you're going to be touching them, and it's going to get moist, and bacteria is going to grow on them. Not to mention the fact you're not going to be able to breathe properly, which is inhaling and exhaling is necessary for good health. But again, they don't think about. Well, obviously, they do. It's just that they don't care because the mask again is a symbol of obedience, and it also maintains the illusion of a crisis because they really couldn't have maintained a pandemic narrative if people were going shopping, not wearing masks, talking, and so that it's all
the it reminds mask. Everybody there's yes. still a crisis because you go outside and see people with masks and you're yeah. reminded about it constantly.
I saw today someone driving around with a respirator on.
I'm waiting for like full on suits of armor or something.
Yeah.
bubble boy.
Yeah, it's like again, do you really think mankind has 100,000 years?
Everyone should dress up like ninjas and go into a bank. You're like, hey man, it's just COVID.
Yes.
Start wearing adult diapers.
Yeah.
You might get Uranus, so they are talking about anal swabs.
Yeah,
I think they started that in China.
Yeah, I think Rachel Levine will be happy to do that for you. So,
ugh, mentally ill minister.
Yeah,
of health.
Yeah, and that's because y'all know that transitioning is very healthy.
Yeah, never has any problems.
Never has any health problems. That's our
low suicide rates.
Mm-hmm. So. Chris, do the research into that complex. That's an interesting story. The Usual Suspects. Yeah. It goes back. Oh,
we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. E.T.
Yeah. So.
Every time.
So. What? Did you have to go or? I don't know.
I was about to say that. I need to bounce.
You told me you had a certain amount of time. I want to be respectful of your time.
I knew I would go over time too, because I like talking to you. But I gotta do something. But let's do something like either before I go to LA or maybe after I get back, because I'll probably have some America stories.
Yeah, maybe that'll work. Just I'll send you a text next week or something, or an email.
Sounds
or something.
Good, man.
So yeah, okay,
Message me on Skype later. I'll bring my phone on my way to my appointment and get you set up with PeerTube and stuff.
Okay. I'll send you a message on Skype and then I'll set it up tonight.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll let you go. Thank you. That's Ryan Dawson of the Anti-Neocon Report, ANCReport.com, right?
That's right.
Okay. You can go there and you can check out Corn Pop's Revenge and all the other things. To check, that's a half an hour video. So I'll let you go. You got to run. So I'll let you go. Thanks a lot. And I'll post as soon as I do. I'll send